Good morning. It's good to see everybody here this morning. What a beautiful day we have to come and gather around the Word. And I'll tell y'all this, I feel so blessed just to be here this morning and not be in the position of a lot of people. That's where these empty pews are. And so let the ones that's not sick do the praying and let our confession be our possession in Him. We're always going to have these problems. It's just going to make us stronger. What a blessed day it is. Good to see everybody here this morning. We're going to read in Psalms 149. Before we read this morning, let's just thank the author for the word. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to come together around your word, Lord. And Father God, we ask you to just come down and deliver us this day from all of these afflictions, Lord, that actually they're making us stronger, Father, to where we can get on out of here, Father. I've had tribulation before, and I know that as long as I sit there and I dwell on it, Lord, it just stays. But Father, you give me strength just to get up and get out. And once I get out, Father, I can take my possession, which is you, Lord, living in me. I am your bride. And Lord, I'm proud to be that, Father, because I feel for those who are not, because I know this is not for everybody, but Lord, it's for us this day. I ask you just to bless each one that couldn't make it through the door this morning. And the ones Terrence was talking about, bless each one. And Sister Johnny, bless her, Father. And bless all the other ones that's not here today. And Brother Way, we're praying for you, buddy. Just get ready to get healed. Come on back home. As we read your word today, Lord, you come down and just speak to our hearts, Lord, that we can take your word by revelation and strengthen us. Bless our Papa today as he's back there preparing to bring your word. And bless him, Father, and to strengthen him. And I ask today that you bless Brother Wade as he'll be the evening service today. And bless him, Father, as he brings his word. We ask now as we read your word, Father, you just come down and be with us, lead and guide us, and have your way with us. Bless all those on the internet that's listening, Lord, to speak to their heart and bring them closer. We ask it in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just a minute, please. As we read Psalms 149, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of saints. Let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp.
For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation.
Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds.
Let the high praises of God hear them out, and the two-edged sword in their hand.
To execute vengeance upon the heathen, and punishments upon the people.
To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron.
To execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all saints. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Amen. High praises to our King and a two-edged sword. Speaking of us this morning, amen. If the brothers could pull up this song, we're going to learn another song here this morning, The Winds of Faith. I actually got to meet the author of this song at a men's meeting in North Carolina, and he was speaking to me how it came about. But the words, I tell you, it sets the tone for where we are today in every believer's life. And the trials come, we just have to set our wings. All the eagles set their wings on the winds of faith. The brothers could bring up the lyrics in the back. There we go. We'll start with the chorus. This one.
Set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly to a higher place. Do not struggle, it's by grace. at your wings. To the winds of, let's sing that chorus once more. Set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly in a higher place. Do not struggle. It's by grace. Set your wings to the wind of faith. First verse. Oh, one by sight, one by faith, take the word of God, or what you see, what you believe, is what will be. Set your wings to the winds of faith. Your need and what's your cry? What's your mountain much too high? Oh, speak the word of God, and by, oh, it will move, or you will fly. So set your strive for the power that makes him rise is already, oh hallelujah, in the sky. So set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly sing that verse 2 and 3 again. Oh, what's your need? And what's your cry? Or what's your mountain much too high? Oh, speak the word of God, and by, and it will move, or you will fly. Sky, he does not struggle, he does not strive. Oh, for the power that makes him rise is already let's all stand. Oh, set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly to a higher place. Do not struggle. It's by grace. Set your wings to the winds of faith. Oh, set your wings to the winds of faith. You can fly to a higher place. Do not struggle, for it's by grace. Set your wings to the winds of faith.
Hallelujah. Whatever your mountain is, just start speaking the word of God. We don't have to struggle. It's by grace. Hallelujah. Let's change the order of the service as our brother comes this morning. Amen. Are you thankful for the faith of God that he gives his bride in these times? Hallelujah. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
See him, don't you? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. We're glad to have our visitors back there. I guess it is their first time. But anyhow, we're glad to have them with us. We always say, number one, you come, you're a visitor. Number two, come, you're just part of us. Because we don't have anything to join up with. We're just part of the body of Christ. And also, it's good to see each and every one of you. Amen. I pray that you enjoyed that singing. I told Brother Joe last weekend he done a marvelous job. That was a great song today, you know, and I enjoy the singing the praises of God and letting the music and the songs and everything be in a reflection to serving him and believing it. Amen. All right, if you like turning your scriptures, turn into Galatians 3. We're going to read from 3 and 4. But just to take it from that point and move on in the Lord and trying to see something about what we've been speaking on and pray that the Lord has blessed you in all of the things. So just remember that. Remember, the Lord willing, Wade will be ministering this afternoon, and then he's going to get back into rotation on the Wednesdays. So he'll be ministering Wednesdays. So we're getting all this set back in order and getting ready, and we're going to try one of these days to get back into the Sunday school class and get them to go and then get back into the Bible study. especially I'm thrilled to find out that people want to go back to the Bible study where we can sit down and fellowship and question one another and have a good time in the Lord. And we always do that on a Saturday afternoon where you can just get together and do. But it's good to be. Amen. Good to have Sister Esther back with us. We're glad to see her able to get out and going and everybody. So just pray one for another. Pray for Brother Ray. Sister Kathy said this morning he was still in bad shape. So remember him and pray that the Lord would lead him out of this.
Yes, amen.
And they're trying to get set to where that Sister Mary and the family and all of them can try to get over here, you know, to the States and all in there, trying to get in all of those things. So remember that. And then Brother George Smith, just remember him. All of us know Brother George. That's Brother Branham's son-in-law. And we pray that the Lord would reach down and touch him. He said he had the pneumonia part. So that's part of it. That's what makes it hard on you, is it'll attack one certain thing, and then you're in trouble with that. And knowing firsthand that we were there and can talk about it, but yet still we can believe too and accept the Lord for whatever, okay? I'm just having to take one at a time until I get my notes over with and doing, so just remember that. So let's pray and then go to our scriptures in Galatians. Father, we thank you for the day and the time that we have that we can just stop a little bit and kind of take a little time off from the hustle and bustle of working and life and doing, and just sit down and meditate on you, talk about you, and hear from you, and let you, Lord, manifest yourself to each and every one of us. We pray that you would just bless all of these. Remember the sick ones among us. We pray continually for all of these that were called out this morning, the sicknesses and things. Remember Brother Ray, to touch him, and Lord, and all of that with the heart attack, and just take it and make it all work out for your honor and glory. And we believe you, and we thank you. And Brother George Smith, I pray that God would take, you'll be with him and take care of him, and all of the people. As we read your word, you come on the scene and manifest yourself in a mighty way to each and every one. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's start reading about, what do we got? 16. We'll read this and then go on into the 4, we'll go from 3 into 4 where you get the whole story. All right. So we start in about to 5th. Let's start to 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though if it be but a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereunto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Notice one seed, not seeds, not plural, just one seed. And that seed is Jesus Christ. We know that. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and of thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promises of none effect. Because, see, the law was spiritual. We needed it. It had to be brought in to come to the basis. But then, now you're going to see here, see, that you're going to pick up something under the law. Maybe it's not the right way to say something, but we'll pick up a positional understanding under the law of the spiritual that is to come to pass. And then that way you'll be able to follow in the doing. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now remember what we had, and I keep dropping back into the previous messages. Remember why God chose Abraham? Remember why that happened that way? You remember the messages we tried to preach, that he wasn't a special guy with it, but he loved God. And God looked down at a man and said, now that's the man I want. Because he loved God. And no matter what God done, he still loved God. So then remember, your choosing is on the basis of maybe something you do have in life. because he can look at you. We'll get to that later in the message. He can look at you and see if whether or not he loves you. But he loved Abraham. He loved David. He loved those great men. But it was because they all loved him and had their heart set on him. So don't forget those things. All right? Wherefore then serveth the law? In other words, why is the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise, now that's Jew or Gentile, it don't make no difference, we're all under sin. Yeah. All right? That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now remember what it was with Abraham. He believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. In other words, we were kept by a book of rules. It was a book of rules. The law was a don't do this, don't do that. It was a book of rules. See, and we were kept under that. Shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now watch him. Wherefore? The law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, the law was a schoolmaster. It's very important. What is a schoolmaster? Somebody teaches you the you know, algebra, science, or whatever, math. Schoolmaster. All right? So then think about it. Wherefore the law was our teacher, our director, our controller. What all could you put with it? For what for? To bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. The law came to last until Jesus Christ. Then when Christ came, Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to them that believe. So when Christ came, he was a fulfillment of the law. He was the law made manifest in an alive word. We'll get down to some of those things later on. All right. For ye are all the children, now watch, of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Therefore, it is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. Now, what about Paul's taking the whole law of all before him, all the things, and he's bringing it down to a situation to showing you how gracious the law is and why we needed it, all right? Now, for if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now watch him. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now, Paul, you made that personal. You said, now I say. He made it personal. It was something real to him. He knew what he was talking about, right? Now, come on. Now, I say that the heir is, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Now what, something's got to come on the scene. But is under tutors, schoolmasters, same word, pick it, look it up, and governors, This is up and downs of what the schoolmaster really is. Until a time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant. Now watch. But a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You may be seated. The Lord add His blessing to the word. Think on these things. You can just keep reading the Word of God, get your mind in a channel, and see that you can go from one chapter to the next chapter to the next chapter in understanding and doing and following in it. Now, Paul, being a great scholar that he was, you see Peter explaining after Paul brings forth the things. You see Peter bringing forth things that fit therein, and the prophet said, Peter and Paul said the same thing. They were not different in doctrine. They taught the same thing, all right? Now, but see, Paul, he takes the Old Testament, and he's looking at the Old Testament, and he's seeing that here was man coming into the world, you know, natural man, natural people, and walking in the best that they could do. And it looks like that, you know, that God says, well, now that ain't good enough. I'll have to give them something to do. So He gives the law. No. The law was asked for by mankind. Right? Mankind asked for the law. He sought the law because it's just like he sought a king. I mean, the people did. Paul knows these stories. They sought a king to be ruler over them, which was never to be right. They sought a law in the basis of saying, give us something to do. Well, God gives mankind the law. But here's the problem. The Bible says the law is spiritual, Paul speaking, but I'm carnal. The law is the Word of God. Amen. See, they made the law a book of rules. It's not a book of rules.
That's right.
You say, yes, it is, because it tells you, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do. But mankind made it that. It is not that. The prophet said the Ten Commandments was the seals of the Old Testament. And Paul, he said it, the law is spiritual. The law was the Word of God. Man made it a book of rules. It was never to have been a book of rules. It was never to have been, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. You're reading it different. Well, Brother Gary Atkins used to say it that way. It sounds different if you read it different, you know. And you read where it says, thou shalt not steal. Well, see, that's the great Ten Commandments form of on the mountain and the writing of the commandments and the things, you know. A great human voice, you know, thundering out and things. See, you read it like that. You read, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. But read it a little different. Read it, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. You say, well, you said the same thing. The wording is the same, but the meaning behind it is not the same. Right? Then you begin to find out what the law and what it was made for, and Paul was bringing it out to the Galatians and showing them that we were under schoolmasters, teachers, The law became our schoolmaster. Paul said, I wouldn't have known, let's say, I wouldn't have known sin if it hadn't been for the sin, thou shalt not lust, or et cetera. See? You get started on something, and then you say, well, I get on that, and I got to go somewhere else. Because, see, the law is the Word of God. It's not a book of rules. Man made it a book of rules because that's what he wanted. His biggest mistake in Exodus, what is it, 19? Is that what it is? It's in Exodus where man chose law. And I illustrated it like, see, they chose a king. They chose a king, see. It was never God's intentions to give them a king. It was not God's intentions to give a law. The prophet was all they needed. If they'd have just listened. All right? But you see, then you take it and you take adoption and you try to bring in adoption because that was what Paul used in the Galatians. All right? Now, Brother Bob the other night done a good point of bringing it. I'd always made that statement, but I just never did go back and prove because I thought it was just, a normal thing. That people understood that because that's what we understood not in the Baptist church. We understood that, adoption was a thing that was brought over from the Gentile situation, or really the Romans, and brought into the situation of being part of their rules and regulations. But it was not an original adopting thing. It was not original from it. The Jews didn't take it to the Romans. The Romans brought it to the Jews, and it became bred into their teachings and doings. Because when you would go into bondage to a king of another country, then he would teach you his laws, his rules, his regulations. And you would wind up a lot of times, even if you went free from that king, you would wind up taking some of that with you because you had it for hundreds of years and it was okay. See? Now, watch my point because I'm just plain of saying it. See, had not this been brought from the Romans, you would not have had adoptional teachings into the Israeli or Israel. So thank God for it. But see, God didn't give them what they wanted. They wanted a book of rules. I keep saying that. But he didn't give them that. He gave them his word. Amen. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Brother Branham picked it up and brought it to exactly placing it with the seals in his message. Well, the seals is not a book of rules. What is the seals? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. So what was the law under the Old Testament? A revelation of what God would come forth into making himself one day to be a man to walk on this earth. Amen. Right? Because everything he dealt with in the Ten Commandments is dealing with something about Jesus Christ if you place it correctly. I remember years ago I was studying on marriage and divorce or something, and I got into my thoughts. I got connected into the right channel of understanding, and I could see those Ten Commandments just as beautiful and see how it come right down to where we're at now. See, then Paul would say the law is spiritual. In other words, the law was right. They just took it wrong. He said they didn't get what they thought they got. They got a revelation of Jesus Christ in letter form called the Ten Commandments. Yeah, but I just can't do that. I can't see. The prophet said it, I didn't. He said if you read the Bible and don't see Jesus Christ in every verse of the Bible, go back and read it again, you missed something. Right? Now, that's pretty strong, but it's true. Because the Bible is to bring forth God to us, or to reveal God, to make himself known. That was his purpose and doings and what took place. And why he would come down through there and do these things. And even give the people things that he knew that was going to kill them. But that's what they wanted. See, they wanted a king. Samuel said, "Have I ever told you anything was wrong? Have I ever done anything?" "No, but we just want a king. We won't be like the rest." Well, that was the biggest mistake they could make. Between the fact of choosing a king and choosing a law, the way they got it, the way they thought it was the most damaging effect that anything could ever had upon mankind. It left mankind, or made mankind, a sinner. You know, sin wasn't imputed to where there was no transgression of the law. In other words, backing up into there, there was a time that sin was not imputed. Imputed after the Adam's transgression, yeah. But not, it's not like it is now. It was the fact, you see those things in a beautiful picture if you see Jesus Christ in that verse instead of seeing everything else. All right? So then what we're doing, we're taking Galatians to see that Paul is picking this up from the Old Testament teachings. You know, he's picking up the law. He's bringing it in. He's picking up that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. He's telling us that the law winds up being our tutor, or our governor, which was appointed to us to raise us. All right? Now, but the Romans, they picked that up. I mean, the Jews picked it up from the Romans and bringing it on into this point. And Paul would be the one to go back over here and bring all of this out and show us this was the revelation of Jesus Christ. The law was a revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. See? And seeing those things, now what's my point? I want to throw you a curve. I believe and teach, and I believe the prophet did, and I believe Paul did, I believe Peter did. I'm just saying it that way, but I'm going to tell you, I believe it. I believe in there's three stages of grace. Not steps of grace now. You don't have that. Stages and steps is different. Just don't try to make it, because you can't take the first church age and lay it with the first seal. Well, what's that got? You can't. You can compare, but you cannot put them totally parallel, because you'd wind up in bad shape. Maybe that don't click to you, but it clicks in me to understand one thing. God spent all of that time trying to bring down to you and I his understanding of himself. And seeing then to do it, he brought it in because, let me ask it this way. I don't mean to raise your hand. I don't do it because you get yourself in trouble with your own thoughts. Just be right. What do you believe about adoption? A lot of people have never heard about adoption. They've never heard it taught. They don't know what adoption is. And that's what's so funny, that we taught adoption in the Baptist church. And I knew in the Baptist church that the Romans brought over, that we took that when Israel was captivated by the Romans and the people. They took those things and brought them into their daily routines and their doings and things of life. Right, Brother Bob? He run the whole thing through for you, so that was good. All right? Well, see, we knew that then. What went wrong with the people of this message that said, we don't understand adoption? Well, you know, maybe you just never read the book. Right? Maybe you never read the Bible and thought about it. See, they picked up those things and from the Roman government and people, And they called it a schoolmaster. That's what Paul would pick up in Galatians, because he knew what that was. He knew what those things were. That's why he would call it a tutor. A tutor is a raiser. And we know the story, or supposed to, of adoption, that a child born into the family, you know, he's a child at birth, but yet he's given a tutor, a raiser, to raise him, to bring him to a position that he can come to a situation to where God can say, this is my son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Right? And seeing that Jesus Christ went through the exact example of this adoption, but Jesus went with three stages. Let me think. Jesus taught three stages of adoption. We Baptists taught two stages. I wonder what the Message people's teaching. Well, we don't even fool with that, because we don't know. Yeah, that's the truth. See, if I ask you to express the three stages of grace, you could probably remember it from a tape you heard, or from this, that, or the other, or thoughts and ideas talked of. All right? That's good. All right. But really, do you understand it? All right? Do you understand that there's three stages? But yet, those natural Romans never taught the third stage. The natural Jew, even though he knew of those stages and what was going on, he never taught the third stage of adoption. It might be interesting to find out the third stage. Well, I know what it is. It's the redemption of the body. Amen. All right, we're good. But where's your example? There's no example in the Old Testament, because there's no death, burial, resurrection to be counted in the Old Testament. Sure, there was people raised from the dead. Right, we will bring that. There was people raised from the dead in the Old Testament, but there was not a resurrection in the Old Testament. Maybe that's why you had the Pharisees and Sadducees of the trouble. Do you know what the difference between a Pharisee and a Sadducee? I mean, do you really know the difference between a Pharisee and a Sadducee? Amen. That was two groups. That was all that Paul was fighting against, Pharisees, Sadducees. Had a little problem with the Herodians in a different little situation, but it was mainly Pharisees and Sadducees. Right. You know the difference in a Pharisee and a Sadducee? A Pharisee believes in a resurrection. A Sadducee doesn't believe in a resurrection. Hold on. That's what I'm talking about. I'm standing here talking about somewhere in the 58, 59, 60, in the Baptist church, that a new thing. Because you could study the Word of God. Right? That's why the Pharisees and Sadducees were constantly after each other. Now, the Sadducees, it wasn't they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in the resurrection the way the Pharisees believed it. The Sadducees believed that there would be a final resurrection. But the Pharisees, they believed that it was our working through some way that they could not explain it, because it was something they had picked up and was guided about in their doings. But they couldn't put it together enough to say. But they argued over it. Go back and read your Bible. The Sadducees argued about the fact that there would be a resurrection, but he believed. You never noticed where Mary was? Yes, Lord, we know in the resurrection. Everybody looked for a resurrection. But the resurrection was looked at as being like Job. Job believed in a resurrection. I know that my Lord liveth in one day. But see, what did Job need? He needed a personal experience with somebody. You ever heard the prophet say it this way? He said he always wanted the fact of saying that he could take some man that would reach over here and get Almighty God and reach over here and get him and bring them together and make them one. Well, that's exactly what the Lord Jesus wound up doing. Right? He took God and man and put it together through the new birth and brought it. See, Job was looking for a resurrection. I know my Redeemer liveth. But when God got through with Job, Job wasn't saying, I know, because that's an odd word. See, you say, I know. Well, that could just be you. You've got a good thought. You've got a good idea. No, look it up. That word says know there means I have an experience or in a situation of this in my own life. Job knew that there was going to be a resurrection of a man, but he couldn't explain it. How could he? There was no way to explain it. But he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. Amen. And in the last days, not in the resurrection, he was looking for something. Some of those people were spiritual enough to find out that they needed to look for a resurrection there. What good is a resurrection tomorrow or the next day? Get something personal. And look at it and see. See, Job could get the idea and come up. He could talk about with it a little bit in the basis of the third stage of redemption. Or adoption, interchangeable word. You say, what are you trying to get us to see, Brother Dale? I'm trying to get me and you to see one thing. Do we understand? Can we put it in the message? Can we put it in the Bible? Can we put what we talk about in the Bible? And a Baptist come along, preach Job and the resurrection. Well, I don't know nothing about this resurrection, this adoptions and things. That's beyond me. That's too deep for me. It is? Well, where have you been reading your Bible? Shoot real fast. Why don't you take Galatians and let Paul line up. Now, if you don't get nothing in the message today, get this little point. Let Paul line up with those Old Testament saints now, the Jews, knowing that they come from the Romans with their idea of adoption. And he's dealing with them on something they can understand. So he goes through the Galatians. And he explains the tutor, the governors, the schoolmaster. We'll get this. If we don't, we'll get another message somewhere down the road. I got plenty to preach on anyway. But you see, Paul was explaining to those natural Jews, you have took this, you know, and they couldn't argue with him because they knew he knew what he was talking about. You've taken this from the Romans, and they're right. There's supposed to be a fact in the doctrinal issue that a child is a child when it was born into the family. And then adoption was when the child was tutored or trained and brought to a position and adopted. All right? Now that's as far as Paul goes with Galatians. Because that's two stages. Whether he didn't know or whether God kept him from preaching, I don't know. Because I know in the Romans I can prove he did. He knew in three stages. All right? But that's what I'm getting at. What are you? Me? Paul was saying, okay, we're under these things. You Galatians, you desire to be under the law. You need to stay spiritual instead of wanting to go back under. See, these Galatians had got brought over from the law into the revelation or time frame of the New Testament situation, and it was beginning to understand. And Paul is explaining to them the situation of what had happened. He was not concerned with explaining the resurrection. His concern was to explain the new birth. And then the point going with the new birth to bring you into adoption, authorities and things. Because we'll prove it as we go along if we have to just keep taking message after message. But see, in the Romans you'll find the identification of a Christian. Romans 8. But then he goes from identification, brought into the family. He goes to the authority, second stage. Authority of bringing the child up through tutors and trainers and raisers and governors. Now you see what he's doing back here to the Galatians. But see, Paul takes Romans to the next stage. And see, you've got to hold Romans to be your finality of all things, because even Peter, in his teaching of the stature of a perfect man, which was wonderful and marvelous to bring forth the stages of adoption, but it never took the stages of adoption to the redemption of the body. Peter never took it to there. Paul was the only one taking it fully into the full redemption. The others could come forth and do. He said, well, I don't understand. Why don't you understand? What is it you don't understand? It's right in the Word of God. Paul takes the Galatians and carries them through stage one and stage two. Puts the tutors, the governors, the trainers, the schoolmasters, all of those things into the child, because under the old Roman part, the child was born into the family. When the Jews picked it up and brought it on into their understanding, the child would be born into the family. I was a Dale when I was born into the family. I didn't have to join it. I didn't have to do anything to get there. I was born into the family of the Dales. But then you was to be given tutors and raisers to bring you up, to bring you to the full authority, because the second stage will come into manifestation, our full authority. Or to hear ye him on finality. But even Jesus, when he went to hear ye him, he was still short of one thing. Oh, you're getting too... Jesus was still short of the resurrection. At that moment, he was not bringing it to that. The prophet on stature of a perfect man said, 30-something years I've been preaching this. Go back through the messages in there of hear ye him and all of those things and some of where we've been talking about where Pentecost failed and what those things were and all. Go back and study those things and see if you can find out where you're at. What stage are you in? It's got to be three stages. That's why it's not three steps. Steps won't work. It's stages. It's a stage. It means you can go from this and the same person go to the next stage and to the next stage and goes through into your correct order. All right? What are you following me? Paul is saying, you Galatians, you desire to be under the law. You want to go back to them things? When you didn't even understand it when you was there? The law was speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ to come into being. Is that true? Is that what the prophet quoted a moment ago? If you don't see Christ in every verse, or Jesus, maybe, you know, excuse me, it says Christ because he didn't say Jesus, because you can't see Jesus in every verse. Don't get smart with me. You don't see Jesus in every verse. You know, the name Jesus. No, but you see Christ in every verse of the Bible. If you don't see it, you better get started reading with a little bit of understanding about what you're talking about. To see Christ. All right, listen. Even though, as I said, Peter could do such a marvelous job in the stature of a perfect man. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, come out to love, which is the headstone. Yet when he comes to that still, he's missing one thing. He's missing the chains of the body. Peter never taught you up to the chains of the body. He taught you up to, let's see how to say it. He never taught you the chains of the body. He taught you the overruling of the body. Would that be a good word for it? Overruling of the body, or the rule of the body through the virtues. It's to rule this person that we are. That's what your virtues are for. The stature of a perfect man. But Brother Dale, I've just never heard nobody teach. Well, where have you been? Amen. Right. Sure. See, that makes you a smart aleck. All right, I'll accept the fact of being an aleck, but don't accuse me of being smart, because I ain't smart. If I was smart, I'd just go sit down in a pew. And about 50 years ago, I would have sat there and said, Brother Moat, you going to preach from now on. And I did. One time I quit preaching. Some of you, my wife knows it. Some of you, the kids may remember that. I quit preaching for a while. Because, see, I wasn't a preacher. I never did count myself as being that. So I quit. Brother Moat said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to church. I said, I'm going to back you up with everything I can do. I'll cut the grass. I'll paint the church. I'll do all the works. I'll do everything in the world. And I did. But he said, what if I get sick? I said, I believe in praying for the sick. Yeah. But you see, the Lord put it in a different situation, brought it different, but that's all right. But the Lord told me he preached the stature of a perfect man. And I'm throwing no reflection to him or what he said or what I'm saying. I'm telling truth. When Brother Moat finished the stature of a perfect man, I asked him one question. I ask you that question today. How do you get those virtues? Where's Richard back there? Richard came up to me one day and he said, I didn't know it was a commandment or a necessity that we had to get the requirement. Didn't know it was a requirement for me to get these virtues. Well, that's what they're doing. You're required to have them. And see, there ain't going to be no change of the body. So you're going to be Pharisees and Sadducees arguing with each other over which one's got the doctrine, and neither one of them's got it laid out right. See, the Pharisees believe in the resurrection. The Sadducees, you read what you're doing, and they'll tell you they didn't believe in the resurrection. But it wasn't a resurrection that way. It was a resurrection for something happening that the Pharisees was getting some idea that something was going to take place. They had a little idea when Jesus Christ rose that they had some thoughts about that. But the Pharisees, we don't believe in the resurrection. You say, see, you bring out stuff like that and you drive me crazy because I don't know what you're talking about. Well, just listen. Just listen to what I'm talking about. If you don't know, ask me a question. That's what I'll be glad to get back to, where we can have the questions and answers. I enjoy questions and answers. We would have questions and answers every service here if we could handle it. But we can at least handle it once a month where we can get together. But I've told you over and over, every time I preach a series, what I do, questions and answers. Right? Every time I get through with a group of things or messages, what I say, let's have questions and answers. I'm open to questions anytime, right off the pulpit, from the floor, right off the floor. It doesn't bother me for you to say something. You say, Brother Dale, I don't agree with you. Well, praise God. Now tell me why. Maybe that can help me, because you can help me to get right. Because if I'm wrong, I can listen to you. Don't ever worry about the fact you'll hurt this man's feelings. If you question him, what you do is when you go among yourselves and talk one over to another about what you don't agree. Now you've hurt my feelings. Because you owe me the point of coming to me. Well, Brother Dale, I've tried to talk. Now, don't start that silly stuff. Brother Dale, I've tried to talk to you, and you wouldn't talk to me. I've made one rule around here, and that one rule I've always stuck with. And I will stick with that rule. I cannot go out there after service today and stop with one person and stay there for an hour before you go home. You say, my pastor would just always run up to me. You got anything on your mind, brother? Let's talk about it. Well, there's the rest of the congregation gone. I'm not going to do that. I got a home. You got a home. We got phones. Call me up. We'll sit down and talk all week. Amen. But when I go outside out there, I shake hands with everybody I can. You ain't never noticed that. You've taught it. You put it there and you'll see it. I even shake or do the bumps with the kids. I want everybody to be able to realize one thing. We're just a body of Jesus Christ. I am nothing. You say, well, you're my pastor. That's what you make me. Come on, I got some things on the gifts and callings where Brother Branham said. He said, the way you treat your pastor is the way God will treat you. Well, I ain't trying to give me Well, what do you need, Brother Dale? I need a new Cadillac. I could say it and get it and don't have to worry about it. But that ain't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about there's not one here any bigger than anybody else. I don't care who you are, how old you are, and how much you think you know the message. You ain't no different than anybody else that's in this building except for one thing. If you're right about studying the message, you got that much on your side. Oh, okay. But you understand. Paul explains the Old Testament relationship of adoption. But he only explains two stages. Peter picks up and gets more into the New Testament form because he's dealing with the spiritual man coming forth and telling you how, because that's what I asked Brother Moe. I said, how do I get these virtues? That was my question. That's my question to you. Do you know how to get the virtues? Well, I didn't know I needed them. Now you know it. Solve that problem. We got that one out of the way. Now let's go. How do we get those virtues? Now, the prophet says they're automatically added. But then he'll turn around and say, this can't be automatically added. So now you've got to get it right. How is it automatically added, but it's not automatically added? It's not laying there, just thrown out there to you. No. It's there for you to stir it up. Right? It's there for to get it stirred up and get you to studying the Word and praying and seeking God. The virtues are then automatically brought. I wish I could get it sometime as I was riding across the road one time, and I wish I could get it together in my mind again to preach it, of where that I could see the virtues and how they was coming forth. See, you take faith and virtue, you put them together and you got knowledge. As long as you got the right faith and the right virtue, you put them together, you got knowledge. Now you're gaining ground. Faith, virtue, and knowledge. Now you got something. You understand? It's laying there. But get what I'm saying. The Romans taught Israel's people in their days and doings, and the Israel people picked it up, brought it over. But even though the Lord Jesus Christ walked upon this earth, it never brought a new birth to a person. He had to go give his life and open it up to where he could give it to you and make you a child of God, because that's the first stage. The Romans taught it in the correct way. The first stage is you're born into the family. Hey, Joe, your name is Joe. You're a Dale, you know. Because you're in the family. Then they put a tutor over you, a raiser, someone to train you. A school teacher. Think about these school teachers and what they're doing. Teaching you those things. What is a schoolmaster in the stature of a perfect man? Don't tell me that you're going to listen to a fellow that don't have any virtue at all explain to you about virtue, and you say, well, we got virtue. Yeah, we got that. No. It's when God reveals it and makes it manifest. Then we got it. All right? Okay. Because remember my point now. Three stages. So you got to connect it together. What? New birth. Brings you into the body of Christ. Okay? That's where Brother Run said the Pentecostals failed. He said they taught the new birth that brought you into the body. But they didn't go on with the adoption. So thereby they cut themselves short. And then let me state the prophet. He said, you better leave them Baptists alone, because they'll tear you up with the word. Now, what's he talking about? The Baptists knew the letter of the word. They knew the adoptions and the things that we were required to have. They knew even how those things came into being. What it took to bring that, they knew those things. All right? So you don't see anybody preaching redemption of the body nowhere. Even in the message, they're not preaching. Oh, they're preaching. Yeah, one of these days is going to be. One of these days. One of these days. If the virtues are required, why not let's do one thing? Let's see if we can bring them virtues into being. Because if that's what's supposed to be, that's what's supposed to be. If tribulation worketh patience, then let's lay on the tribulation. Might bring some patience to us, okay? Now listen. So do you understand? Now I'm trying to lay this to point, because I ain't going to be able to get where I want to go, and I know that, but I'm laying it up to a point for you to understand. I'm laying it and telling you exactly what I'm preaching. If you ever noticed, if you'll listen to this advice one time, Tom Farbush had a good idea. He said, you come in the morning. He said, you hear what you need to hear. He said, but you come back in the evening, you'll get understanding of what you're supposed to be getting. He said, but if you don't come back in the evening, you ain't going to get it. Well, whose fault is it? So I'm telling you, I'm laying out exactly what I mean by this, because there's three stages to adoption. New birth, authorities, redemption of the body.
That's right.
Right in the Word of God. Then you'll see why Brother Brown spent all those years preaching those things. To try to get us to come to that place. See, there's no excuse to say we don't understand.
That's right.
Well, Israel picked up that natural thing and applied it. It became a natural part of their environment, times, or whatever you want to call it. But see, when you start teaching it, then you see that the natural Israel never reached the redemption of the body. So they got two stages in type. We got to have all three. All three has got to come into manifestation to a change of these bodies that we're living in. there's your adoption in the finality. Right? But listen, no bodily redemption to put forth in the Old Testament. You had types of it, shadows of it, speaking of it. It happened in the natural. They did. People was raised from the dead and all that. But it never brought a total reality. Job was the closest one because he said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And in the last days, I'll stand on this earth. And he said, I'll receive that new body that I'm supposed to get. Not another body. That body redeemed. Bodily redemption. People of the message want to preach a new. What in the world are you worried about new? You just got a car in wearing out situations to say you got a new car. It's going to wear out. Okay? But now listen. But Paul, he says to the Galatians, he said, you're going to get tutors and governors. This is what you need. You need schoolmasters. You need teachers. Now, can I quote the prophet? Did he say it this way? He said, pastors, evangelists and things have their job. What did he say about the teacher?
Amen.
He said, he's the one that sets you in order.
Yeah, that's right.
To set you in order. Because he's to teach you. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Peter, you never said anything else after you taught the stature of a perfect man to talk about love being the headstone. You never mentioned it coming to the redemption, the full adoptional redemption. He said, well, I really didn't know I needed it. But see, Paul was the only man that could take it all away. Naturally, when Peter and them, John and all them picked it up, yes, sir, they picked up what he said and went and taught it, and it was great. The Romans was a great church. But listen, no bodily redemption from the Old Testament in the form of one thing. You had to get Jesus Christ here. All right? You agree? You had to get Jesus Christ here to be able to die for us to bring forth those things. All right, do you agree on this? You got to get Jesus Christ inside of you in a new birth before you can even start talking about being a child of God.
That's right.
Well, Brother Dale, I believe the message. Amen. So does the devil.
That's right.
Sorry. And he trembled about believing it.
Right.
Is that the Bible?
Amen.
The devil believed in God and trembled. He was scared. That's what your Bible says. What we know in head knowledge is wonderful. I've always said I wish I had within revelation of my soul being that I am all that was in my head as head knowledge. I do. But I admit it's not there in that situation. But don't let me turn it down. Let me keep studying it until it comes to pass.
Right.
No, church, listen, I was preaching this in 1960s. What was you doing? 69. Started teaching and talking about adoption. That's not bragging. That's just telling the fact. I don't have to brag. People that have been around me know it's true. Because you get on the internet and just say, did anybody ever hear about that? You're going to get it back. They're going to say, I don't agree with him on what he's doing or what he's saying. I couldn't understand what he was talking about. I don't agree with it. But said there's one thing about it. He tried. All right. But he's just trying to get it in order. Stage one is your new birth. You've got to have the new birth because that was the adoptional form back there. The adoptional form back in the Old Testament of the Romans started with the basis that a child was born into their family. He had every right of the family, but yet he had to be tutored and trained to be brought to the position to where he could be trusted and he could do and work and everything would be right. Right? And see, back there then, you didn't have talking about authorities or things like we do, but you did have an authority of a child that was brought into the body, brought into the family as a tutored child that knew how to run and raise the corn, the crops, and the doings, and how to take care of everything. He knew all about it. He knew what his father's ideas was. But he never reached the change of the body. Paul says we're under governors and tutors and things like that, but we still ain't reached it. He said, there's something here that I don't hold, I don't understand. So he picked it up a little higher. Well, somebody run that clock back, we could be all right. See, Paul took what he saw. He didn't deny what he saw. Well, I ain't going to study nothing, no Romans. I ain't listening to no Catholic Church. Oh, then evidently you don't like the statement Brother Brown made where he said the Catholic was the original Pentecost. The Catholics was the first Pentecostals. And they wasn't Pentecostal. Your prophet said they were. And he said, if they'd have remained that, look what it would have been. But see, we want to throw off on that. We just say, oh, we don't want to have nothing to do with them Romans, them Baptists, them Methodists, and all like that. We don't. You know why? Because you don't know. A lot of them taught things that this church needs over and over to understand. You're growing in grace and knowledge. Peter picked it up. He got on over our end to starting to bring his message, and he said, newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. Right. Then you begin to bring to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. God done it. He was bringing it to a point of what would be called stage two. Huh? Let's just go ahead. I'll cut it right on the point. So, get to Romans. Where am I at? I'm missing my own notes. Okay, page one. I looked on the front page. Let's just read Romans. You got it? Bring it up. Romans 8, verse 15. I'll try to read as fast as I can and do what I can to get to a point. All right, starting verse 14. I left them 14. But watch now. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There's your new birth. There's your born-again experience. There's that baby in Christ. There's that desire and the sincere milk. There's those things. All right, Lord. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We've got away from all that, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What is the first stage of adoption? The spirit of adoption. You can't make it this over here and that over there. So it's the spirit of adoption. That's what Paul is explaining to the Romans. You took this from those people back there. You brought in what they brought in. You've accepted the son as a child born into the family. And you've put the tutors and trainers and schoolmasters and guardians over them to teach them and bring them into a position of manifestation to where they can be a Christian. God wants his children to be Christian. Oh, yeah, I was looking one day on the wall there at the house, and we had the pictures up years ago down kind of wall, you know, like that, and it run down there, Wade, and there was Terrence, and there was Anna, and, you know, we had our little different stages in life, you know, 4, 5 years old, 9 years old, just had them on the wall. And you could stand there and look at them, and I'd say, you know what, I'd like to see Terrence stayed right there, because I wouldn't have had the problems that I had with him had he stayed right there. Because I remember that. Right? Because they were my children. But you know what the thought came? Said, yeah, but if he stayed there, he wouldn't grow up. He wouldn't become what you want him to be. I set out right then to do one thing, to try to teach my children the ways of God through the stature of a perfect man. Not necessarily me having it, but me be able to preach it to where they could receive it. That's my goal. Whether or not I get it or get there or whatever, don't make no difference with me. My goal is to see you there. I'll have to get started if I don't. Right. But what do you receive? You receive the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption is your new birth.
Amen.
The spirit of adoption is your new birth.
Amen.
You're adopted into the family.
Amen.
A child that's born into the family is then coming forth then to be adopted into the parts of virtues and authorities. All right? So take the first one and put it as a spirit of adoption and put that identification. I got these written in my Bible on Romans. I got stage one, identification. Stage two, authority. Stage three, change the body. I've had them in there ever since I come in this message. Listen. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You don't have no set of rules or this, that, or the other to try to act like a child. You're just born there. Because you received the spirit of adoption, stage one. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. What spirit? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the new birth. The Holy Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You get the virtue, somebody's going to see it. All right? Come on. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And join heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. What is it? Heirs. What about being joint heirs? What about being joint heirs with Jesus? You know, if you got joint heirs, you're supposed to have, everybody's supposed to have the same, right? I mean, if it's joint, it's joint. It's supposed to be the same. Both of you got the same thing, same amount, same doing, okay? So what's the second stage? You're moving away from just being a child, going toward something else down here. Now watch it. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Watch now. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. What is manifest? To make known. Second stage of adoption is what? To make known. Authority. Where that Jesus over there was standing on River Jordan. And the Holy Spirit come down and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Now, don't put hear ye him there. Wait until you get over to Matthew 17, if we get the time to get there. If you don't, put Matthew 13 as River Jordan. Matthew 17 is Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. All right? Because he comes to full authority over there. Okay, watch now. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. In other words, we were put down under all of this thing, but we're waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Even nature itself is groaning, waiting for the children of God to come to their place. That bull that the prophet said, if I'd have had my gun... He was a natural man, right? He said, I would have shot it and went and paid for it. But he didn't have the gun. But he had more than the gun. He said, bull, go lay down. That old bull just walked over and laid down. He had authority. He had manifestation. See? Paul knew Peter and them had authority and manifestation. He knew those that was there with him had those things. He knew it. He honored Peter. He didn't throw off on him about the stature of a perfect man. He said, you're trying to get that to there. You are doing the greatest thing that could be done, Peter, because I have tried to get this virtues into the people and can't get it. It's just something they're not taking my teaching. But said, you are taking the minute, the message back and bringing it into the stature of a perfect man. Because that's what Peter was doing. Paul didn't take all of the authorities, all of the different things. But what did it be? For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now watch. But not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, which have the first fruits, 14th verse up, our first fruits, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan, authority, waiting within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. To wit means to understand. I know what it means. Witnessing, et cetera, et cetera. All right, fine. They use them. But I like it where it says to wit, the redemption of our body. Amen. To understand. You realize this message come to bring us the understanding of the adoption. Paul had the message. He took what the natural Romans could do and adopted their children and brought them in that and then taught them and tutored them and brought them into authority, but that's as far as they could go. Then you started your New Testament. I'm doing fast, so follow with me. You started your New Testament. You had people there that was like Peter and them that could stand there and say, silver and gold have I none but in the name of Jesus Christ. They could talk about the new birth because they had the new birth. Peter says, you know, growing in grace and knowledge. Desiring the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by thereby. He was teaching those things to the people. And as he was doing that, God wasn't through. Because God knew there was something missing. So he says, Paul, go down to the Romans. Because they got this thing started. And maybe by going to some of them that gets born again, they'll be able to understand what I'm fixing to tell you. Because I'm going to tell you how the body is redeemed. Come on, do you understand? Three stages to adoption, not two. See? You hear the people of this message talk about these things, but listen to what they're talking about. Do they take it all the way to the change of the body? Or do they just stop it? Because here's what most people had, and I was listening, we was the other day. Brother Brown says, you talk about manifested sons of God. He said, you say we need them in the millennium. Now listen. I'll give it to you. It's almost verbatim. He said, you say that we're talking about the manifested sons of God in the millennium. He said, we don't need them in the millennium. He said, we need them right now. Right. We need them right now. Right. We need manifested sons and daughters of God right now. Right. You ain't going to need it in the millennium. There ain't going to be no prayer lines or sickness or something wrong, legs missing or arms missing, something in the millennium. You won't even have that in the group that can come up and back yourself to the millennium. What do you understand? Paul was trying to explain the thing that Job said. I can see it. And I know it. Have you ever thought about what he was saying when he said, I know? I know my Redeemer liveth. Come on, musicians. I know my Redeemer liveth. But he said, but in the last days. Come on, Job said that, right? But all at once, something struck him. And when it struck him, he said, I know my Redeemer liveth now. A millennial reign, manifested son and daughter of God, is all right. But we need them now. I cry every night and pray and think about all of these that are sick. And I go through the list of everybody and I say, Lord, think about it. I said, Lord, you promised that these things wouldn't come upon us. And I don't believe they have. I don't believe the tribulation that is spoke of there in the Bible and all. I don't believe it's poured out yet. That's the wrath of God poured out. We're still under the grace of Almighty God. We're still under praying for the sick and things like that. But one of these days, when it comes under that basis and God's wrath is poured out, there's no need for you to pray. It won't be nothing to pray. The Bible said they cry for the rocks and things to fall on them and hide them from the eyes of Him. But now, if we can't keep up with the footman, the Bible said if you can't keep up with the footman, what about when the horsemen get here? In other words, you can't keep up with the footman. What are you going to do when the horses come out and start running? That's the stature of a perfect man. That's the things we need to study as to how to get these virtues and things and to come into manifestation. And it is not all head knowledge, because head knowledge will not bring you nothing but an uplifted person that thinks they know something. There ain't nobody in this building no different than anybody else. I don't care who you are and where you come from. We're all one in the body of Christ. You've heard me tell the story of the dream that I had when all these white people was following me, walking through white sand. Looked over to the side, and there come a dark cloud of not just say now, in plain in language, put it, not black, Negro, African, black. I'm talking about dark colored race of people, which could be anything from any parts of the world. The Chinese are dark colored. This are dark colored. All that. The foreign countries are a lot of it. So you see, I'm not talking about that. But a group of people came in, and when they did, I just stopped. And they looked. And the man stood out and said, now, you've got to teach us. Turn around and look. If you counted the darkness of any race, of anything you wanted to count, whether it be Chinese or whether it be Japanese or whether it be Vietnamese or Koreans or anything, you turn around and look. You'll see there's probably more dark-colored people than they are white. We had that reputation when we was first started. The brothers used to love to come here. Brother Brady in Jamaica, his first time, he had been to America or different things, but we was up there at Jeff. I'd got acquainted with him, and we was up there, or not, no, was at Ruth. We was up at Ruth, and he looked at me, and I was planning on him coming down. That was Friday or Saturday. He was to preach here on Sunday. Then anyhow, he said, Brother Dale, I said, where's my people? He said, where's my people? Where's the dark-colored races of people? I said, you'll see it in the morning for the services. And you see people here from all over the country, all over the world. Yeah. Let's stand for them. Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
Let's sing that song, How I Love Jesus.
I noticed Wade had something on adoption in there, so he'll get on it this evening. Then.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its
word. You
love it?
You see, we've had the message
like
from the prophet. Body.
On earth.
We're not left alone. from and said, according to Malachi 4.
Oh, I love Jesus.
Oh, what a wonderful opportunity that we are,
Jesus,
the people of Almighty God.
Because he first,
we know what adoption means. It means full authority. It means bringing us into sonship. Anybody have a need? Yeah, on his own.
It tells me how his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. And oh, how I love Jesus.
Do you? Then you gotta love me.
How I love Jesus.
You know what? You gotta love me if you love him.
Because he said, it tells me I'm
dismissed. Pray one for another. Remember Wade this afternoon. Remember the Wednesday night service and all the announcements. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace to each one of us, and we pray that you just help us and guide us in Jesus' name.
How I love Jesus.